This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Welcome to the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. My name is Raymond Grenfell. Before we go any further, though, huge thanks to Jeff for another excellent edition of On The Record. He'll be back next week on a Monday morning, bringing you all the news from and views and, you know, dulcet tones. But of course, you can catch On The Record every weekday here at RTR FM from 9 in the AM. Also, thanks to Maddie for the news. She'll be back at 12 o'clock with your RTR FM news updates. And as I said, this is the Indie Media Show, the news and views from the open publishing wires of the interwebs. On today's program, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Burrup expansion. It's an issue we've covered extensively on this program, with good reason, given the implications not just for the very significant Aboriginal heritage in Murujuga or the Burrup Peninsula, but also the implications for climate and, the expansion of industry in the Burrup may perhaps be, as our guest today referred to it, you know, the end of the climate wars. It might really be the final nail in the coffin in terms of action on climate change, given the incredible industry that is being proposed and is already starting to occur in our state's northwest. In our most recent news, work on a controversial fertilizer plant, Perdaman's fertilizer plant near sacred sites in Murujuga, is expected to begin by the end of October, after Federal Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek decided not to block the construction. Of course, there's been a huge campaign by traditional owners and people down here to stop the expansion of industry in the Burrup. But we're going to be catching up with a member of the Scarborough Gas Action Alliance, Sam Wainwright, a little later in the program to talk a bit about Perdaman's plant and also what it means in terms of the broader expansion of industry in the Burrup, and then what that means for the incredibly sacred site that it is, and also what it means for climate here in WA in Australia, and supposedly our federal government's commitment to tackling climate and taking action on climate change. In a sort of related news as well, we're going to be chatting about a new aluminium proposal in a bit further south in the state, in our down in the Peel region. At the moment, you've still got opportunity to have a say on this project. There's the South 32. It's a multinational bauxite and coal mining company. They're already operating a Boddington bauxite mine, approximately 120 kilometres south of Perth. And they're also operating the Worsley Alumina refinery near Collie. But this new proposal would result in a clearing of an additional 4,400 hectares of predominantly Jarrah forest and a significant loss of habitat for threatened wildlife, including endangered black cockatoos. So a lot of folks around this area in Boddington and their supporters are, very critical of this new mine and the impact it will have on the forests and on very much needed habitat. So we're going to be chatting to the West Australian Forest Alliance a little later in the show to hear all about that.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice.
You're on the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. Now, if you are a regular listener to the program, you would know we've been following the expansion of industry in the Burrup Peninsula quite closely. You're probably familiar with the Scarborough Gas Hub. That's a very controversial project in our state's northwest. Will be one of the largest polluters in the southern hemisphere if it goes ahead. However, most recently, there's been a further expansion in the industry with the Environment Minister, Tanya Plibersek, on Tuesday rejecting calls from traditional custodians to stop work on Perdaman's new fertiliser plant. It's an expansion of their fertiliser plant in the Burrup Peninsula. Now, this has a huge bunch of implications, not just in terms of the sacred site that Murujuga is and all the rock art there, but just in terms of really opening the floodgates to industry in the Burrup and a further expansion of industry in the Burrup. And of course, the implications for climate and I guess, you know, just that general expansion will mean a hell of a lot more in terms of emissions here in WA and in Australia. So to speak about that, I had the opportunity a little earlier today to catch up with Sam Wainwright. Sam's a member of the Scarborough Gas Action Alliance and a long-time social justice activist and environmental justice activist. And I just started by asking Sam why people, particularly traditional owners and their supporters, are very concerned and upset about the decision to go ahead with Perdaman's fertiliser plant in the northwest.
Yeah, well, look, I think people are very right to be concerned and upset about it on two fronts. First, of course, is the massive collection of the world's oldest petroglyphs or rock carvings. Yet more of them are threatened with destruction or being moved. I mean, this is just incredible stuff. The industrialisation of the Burrup Peninsula should never have happened in the way that it has in the first instance. Already, petroglyphs have been moved, and it now turns out that the traditional owners, both those that are explicitly against new industrialisation of the hub and those that aren't, didn't want the more rock carvings to be moved. I mean, this is just incredible stuff. These rock carvings are world heritage. It's just inconceivable. This is, I think it's on a scale with the Juukan Gorge disaster. So that's the first thing to say. It's just incredible that this is still happening in Australia and shows a total lack of respect for Indigenous culture, let alone world culture. The second thing is that it shows an absolute commitment by the state and federal government to continue with a fossil fuel-based industrialisation of the Burrup Hub. So, obviously, the Perdaman fertiliser plant is being co-located with the gas industry because it uses the gas as a feedstock in the industrial process. It could... Presumably, the plant could have been located a bit further away at slightly greater cost, but clearly Tanya Plibersek doesn't want to push Perdaman down that path. But it also shows that the Perdaman project is part of this greater industrialisation based on fossil fuels. The proposed gas processing hub to take the gas from the Scarborough field is even bigger than is going to be required for the Scarborough field. And it seems fairly certain that they want to build in the capacity to take fracked gas from the Kimberley as well. So what it really shows, it's part of this package of measures and policies which are really just putting the foot to the floor of more oil and gas exploration and exploitation in Australia, which is 100% the wrong thing to be doing in the face of a climate emergency.
We will speak a bit about that climate emergency in just a moment, but just returning, I guess, to some of the questions around the Aboriginal heritage, and you mentioned the Juukan Gorge. Of course, the question of preserving traditional sites and sacred sites in Australia is ever more pertinent after the disaster at Juukan Gorge. Now, Tanya Plibersek wouldn't acknowledge his Section 9 application that was sought, was knocked back on Tuesday, and that's under, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island Heritage Protection Act. We're talking about an area here that, as you said, has got, thousands or tens of thousands of petroglyphs, some of them, incredibly, incredibly significant. I believe there's even the first ever depiction of a circle, a human circle in human history there. It seems really sort of quite bizarre that an area such as that has such heavy industry. What does it say about this Heritage Protection Act and around, I guess some of the institutions that are meant to be protecting Aboriginal heritage, when a place like the Burrup can just, be allowed to have this sort of heavy expansion of industry?
Yeah, well, it just shows how weak it is. And obviously the legislation has been updated, but Aboriginal organisations were still very, very clear that the legislation didn't do enough to protect their heritage. And also, it's worth pointing out that the borough itself is, you know, it's in an industrial zone, so it's already excluded from the normal, from the protections, weak as they are, you know. So it really is up to the discretion of the minister in this case. I mean, it is extraordinary. I mean, this is like, you know, the Taliban blowing up the Bamiyan Buddhas, you know, back in 2001. The total lack of respect for sites of cultural significance. It's just mind-boggling. It shows how much Australian thinking has not actually moved on, except in a rhetorical way.
Now, when I saw you the other day, Sam, you mentioned that this, you know, might possibly be the end of the climate wars if this borough expansion goes ahead. I mean, I guess many of our listeners would be aware of Scarborough Gas, but they might not be so aware of all the other connected projects. And, you know, we've spoken on the show quite a bit about the campaign to stop Scarborough Gas. But, you know, how significant is this for the climate? If this expansion goes ahead in the borough, what will it mean in terms of our, I guess, you know, the expansion of fossil fuels here in WA, and, you know, especially in the context of we're meant to have this federal Labor government that promised to take action on climate change, and now we've got this, you know, seemingly pretty insane project going on in our state's northwest. You know, how significant is it? Is it really, you know, is this the end of the climate wars? Is this sort of, you know, the final sort of nail in the coffin in terms of, you know, hoping for any real action on climate change here in WA?
Well, I mean, it's just worth bearing in mind just how big some of these current projects are. So, I mean, the Scarborough Gas threatens to release 1.5, perhaps as much as 1.7 billion tonnes of CO2. So it's bigger than the Adani coal mine. And it's not the only major fossil fuel project that has been given the green light. There's also the Beetaloo Basin in the Northern Territory, which is a massive sort of massive fracking project. I mean, it's very hard to see how Australia can meet its own modest climate targets. And bear in mind, the 47% target that the Albanese government is committed to is not sort of based on science. I mean, it's not based on a scientific justification that a cut of 47% by 2030 will be sufficient to make Australia's contribution to stopping 1.5 degrees of warming. Really all the new federal government did was just added up all the things they were going to do anyway. They came to 47%, and that's therefore the target. But it's far from certain that they'll even be able to make that target with just the Scope 2 emissions from these projects. And if you include the Scope 3 emissions, which is the emissions that are produced where these fossil fuels are actually burnt, the customer that buys the fuel, then it's just crazy. I mean, there's just both Australian and international climate advisory bodies have been quite clear that we are not going to make both national and global emissions reduction targets by opening up massive new fossil fuel reserves like this. And the scary news is that on top of Scarborough and Beetaloo, just last week, last Thursday, I think it was, the Federal Resources Minister, Madeleine King, who's West Australian, by the way, she's a member of Brand, she just announced that 10 new oil and gas sites will be opened for exploration and exploitation. So it's like the Australian government wants to exist in this sort of fantasy world where we reduce our domestic emissions, you know, for stationary electricity production, and then we do that and give ourselves a green tick for reducing our domestic emissions while continuing to pump massive amounts of new oil and gas into the rest of the world. This is just fantastical stuff. It can't happen. And I guess what people need to get their head around is that while we made a certain progress in getting in the dumping the climate change deniers out of government, the next line of defence for the fossil fuel companies in the Australian Parliament are what I call the climate change fakers. And that's really what Labor policy is at the moment.
We're speaking to Sam Wainwright about the expansion of the Burrup hub in our state's northwest. Sam, you know, we've seen some pretty remarkable actions around this in recent months and in really in recent years. The Save Our Songlines demonstration in Karratha and people marching on a country in Murujuga up there in the Burrup itself. And there seems to be, you know, at least from traditional owners and, you know, certain parts of the community, a bit of momentum building around trying to stop this expansion. You know, and it's, I guess it's quite difficult to know exactly what people can do or how we can build a bit of a campaign or a movement around this. And many people look to campaigns such as the campaign around James Price Point as an example. But where do you think the movement can go from here? Obviously, there's going to be, you know, need for mobilisation here in Perth and perhaps up in the Burrup itself. But yeah, where can we go to from here in terms of actually building a movement that might demonstrate some opposition to the expansion of industry in the Burrup Peninsula?
Yeah, look, I think we're just going to really need to rekindle or regenerate all the strands of activity and activism that we know, when combined, work. There's no question that we've sort of been on the back foot a bit because of COVID. There hasn't been the same level of mobilisation against the fossil fuel industry. And, you know, the real sort of cutting edge of the fight to stop runaway global warming in Western Australia is no new oil and gas projects. I think that's very clear. But, yeah, you know, many listeners will remember the fantastic huge mobilisation in Perth in late 2019 by School Strike for Climate, which is around about 10,000 people out in the centre of Perth. But we haven't, you know, if we're going to begin to push the government to change course, we're going to need a lot more than that. We need a sustained campaign. And that's going to involve more action on the ground, in consultation with traditional owners up there at Murujuga itself, and activity here in Perth. So there'll be plenty of that. I mean, it's quite clear that the traditional owners have got new voice and confidence to speak out and take action against the industrialisation, the further industrialisation of the Burrup, and the demand is growing. Stop new industry on the Burrup, and we've got to come behind that. And we've also got to build complementary actions in Perth. And I think that's going to be the full gamut of mass actions in the streets, you know, cultural and community expression, people taking, you know, action on the ground. It's all got to come together as part of a sustained and diverse campaign. Something that we'll be building here towards in Perth is an action in Fremantle to coincide with COP27. That will be in November. There'll be plenty of actions before then.
And I'm sure we'll keep our listeners up to date and all that. Thanks so much for speaking to us this morning, Sam. And yeah, all the best with the campaign.
Thanks very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
That was Sam Wainwright from the Scarborough Gas Action Alliance. Find out more if you look up Disrupt the Burrup. Sorry, I think it's Disrupt the Burrup, or Scarborough Gas Action Alliance. But there's also the Save Our Songlines group as well, who are a traditional owner-led group who are, you know, demanding an end to the expansion of industry in the Burrup. And as I said there, we'll, of course, keep you updated with actions that are incoming around ensuring that this incredibly sacred site is protected and that there's no more new oil and gas industry here in WA.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
Many of you, I'm sure, were elated and very relieved when the state government announced that they'd be ending native forest logging in the state. However, our native forests face many other threats, particularly from mining. Right now, West Australians have been given the opportunity, or at least you've got until the end of today, I believe, to have your say on a controversial mining expansion which endangers the state's native forests and may cause unacceptable levels of carbon pollution. Multinational bauxite and coal mining company South 32 already operates the Boddington Bauxite Mine approximately 120 kilometres south of Perth, as well as the Worsley Alumina Refinery near Collie. But this new proposal would result in the clearing of an additional 4,400 hectares and significant loss of habitat for threatened wildlife. To discuss the proposal, on the line now we have Jane Hutchinson. Jane is a researcher and committee member with the West Australian Forest Alliance. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Jane.
It's a pleasure, right? Thank you.
Now, as I said just there, I guess many of our listeners would be aware, of course, of the state government's commitment to protect native forests in terms of logging, but they may not necessarily be aware of the threat that operations such as this proposed bauxite mining proposal has on our Jarrah forest or on our native forests in general. Can you tell us a little bit about what's being proposed and why it is of so much concern to not just people in the West Australian Forest Alliance, but anyone who cares about preserving habitat and our native forests?
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Yes, when the Premier made the very welcome announcement about logging, he did exclude already approved mining operations. But what we have here with South 32 is them wanting to expand their existing operations, as you say, to clear another 4,400 hectares of excellent and very good quality Jarrah, Marri and Wandoo forests. And I'm directly quoting South 32 there. So this is an expansion proposal which we just think the community cannot support.
It's a huge amount of land, and I mean, I guess we can talk about some of the implications in terms of carbon pollution and so forth in a little while. But I guess just looking at this this habitat, and as you say there, it's significant sort of part of forest and not really it's not degraded land. I mean, what sort of ecological threats would this pose to the native habitat, and particularly to endangered species such as the Carnaby's black cockatoos?
Yeah, sure. Look, to be fair, about 44% of the area of land that South 32 wants to expand to is already cleared land. So it's about 54% of their area that we are particularly concerned about with that 4,400 hectares, which is on top of already approved clearing, which is yet to happen, which actually brings a total of 13,740 hectares, so an even larger area of approved and proposed clearing of native forests. As I said, the South 32 has assessed the quality of most of that forest as excellent and very good, and what that means is there's very high richness of species density there, both flora and fauna. And there's some 21 conservation significant species, both flora and fauna, that are in the area, and potentially another 65 that are also in the area. So it could be up to 87 conservation significant species. And what that means is species that are endangered, threatened, or critically endangered. So, species that are suffering already significant impact. Now, in regards to the black cockatoos, our much-loved black cockatoos, the three species are among the 17 fauna, so birds and animals, that will be directly impacted by the expansion of bauxite mining by South 32. And that's along with Woylies, Chuditch, mainland quokkas, and also numbats. Now, the impact varies, obviously, because they have different habitat requirements, both in terms of foraging and breeding. But South 32 admits that they will be mining and clearing around 20% of the suitable habitat of the black cockatoos in that area. So we're talking already about species that are threatened, that are struggling to survive, and this would be, in an area of excellent quality forest, another 20% completely removed. And I don't know if your listeners have seen pictures of bauxite mining, but we're talking about absolute removal of any piece of vegetation, and then they extract the topsoil and laterite for some metres down. So it's a very dramatic process of mining. Now,
Oh, no, sorry, Jan. I was just going to say, I mean, I guess the other thing with mining and, you know, I mean, you know, the clearing itself is incredibly damaging, but many of our listeners would, of course, be aware that mining in of itself, particularly bauxite mining, is very destructive and uses a lot of water. And I think that's one thing that is, you know, perhaps separate and different to just clearing for timber. I mean, this, the you know, South 32 themselves acknowledge that the plan will have damaging effects on the Hotham River and use roughly 900 million litres of water per year. I mean, that in itself really sort of rings alarm bells that, you know, this project will have, you know, beyond just the loss of direct loss of habitat, will potentially, you know, hugely impact on the river system as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that 900 million litres per year that they're proposing to use with the expansion is coming from groundwater. So they'll be pumping that water up through additional bores and mainly using that for dust suppression, so spraying it on the ground to try and keep control of the dust. And we know with climate change that groundwater levels have been falling dramatically, and areas of the Jarrah Forest during summers that have been particularly dry and hot have simply died. So we understand that the Jarrah Forest is under enormous pressure. Despite being, you know, a very resilient, drought-tolerant species, climate change combined with the impacts on groundwater is having a dramatic impact upon the forest and hence upon related habitats for a whole range of animals and birds.
We're speaking to Jane Hutchinson, who is a researcher and committee member of the West Australian Forest Alliance. Now, you mentioned there, the potential sort of, I guess, climate implications. And, you know, I guess many of our listeners might not know that alumina refining is almost twice as carbon polluting as coal-fired power in WA. And what sort of, I guess, implications are there in terms of the climate for this proposal and I guess, the expansion of bauxite mining and you know, South 32, as we mentioned, also operate the Worsley alumina refinery near Collie. And, you know, in this day and age when we're meant to be sort of taking action on climate change, do we, you know, the expansion of these industries, you know, what kind of impact will they have? And is it really something that we should be considering when we need to be, you know, thinking about reducing our emissions?
Yeah, look, as you say, the alumina refinery industry is a major emitter of greenhouse gas in the state and indeed in Australia. Look, and South 32 is particularly problematic because they use coal in their refinery. Now, they do talk about converting to gas, but we argue that that doesn't take adequate account of the problems associated with methane emissions, etc., from using gas as an energy source too. So there's the issue around emissions from the refinery, but also it's really clear that if we are to address climate change issues, then we simply have to stop chopping down forests. The Australian government did sign up to an agreement to stop deforestation at the last international climate conference in Glasgow. And so this sort of clearing of carbon-storing forests is completely unacceptable. Now, some of the timber that's cleared goes to various uses, but significant quantities are simply stacked up and burned. And we just think in this day and age, this kind of release of carbon through deforestation is completely unacceptable. Now, the company says, oh, well, we plant back some trees, but it's well known that the carbon storage levels in mature forests is much, much greater than in young growing trees. And that every time you chop down one of these mature trees, you're really adding to carbon dioxide emissions. So, yes, we think this is a really worrying aspect of the expansion of bauxite mining in our precious Jarrah forest too.
Certainly. Now, in terms of what our listeners can do, I believe today is the last day in which they can put forward a submission to the EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that and what they can do in that regard? But what, you know, I guess more broadly, what else they can do to ensure that both this expansion doesn't go ahead and I guess just, you know, to ensure protection of our native forests?
Yeah, certainly. So, yes, today's the deadline. If you haven't already read the 800-plus page environmental review document that South32 was required to prepare, then it may be a bit late to initiate a submission on this one. But people are very, you know, I'd encourage people to contact the Minister for Environment, Minister Whitby, and urge him as the ultimate decision maker to not approve this expansion. So, you know, a phone call to his office or an email to his office would be very important. But we've also got in the pipeline Alcoa, further north, has significant bauxite mining operations, and they also propose to expand their operations. But the public environmental review process for Alcoa we think won't commence until early next year. So I really encourage people to look out for that and perhaps give themselves a bit more time to make a submission on that front. If people want to find out more, then the WA Forest Alliance, the Wilderness Society and the Conservation Council of WA have come together with a number of local groups based in Jarrahdale and Dwelling Up, for example, to form an alliance in trying to halt these mining expansions. And if you go to any one of our websites, you'll be able to find more information, but also more information about what sort of action people could take.
We've been speaking to Jane Hutchinson, who is a committee member and researcher with the West Australian Forest Alliance. Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning, Jane.
Yes, it's a pleasure, Ray. Thank you.
Between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.